Good morning, Lord. We just welcome you. We just implore you to come and just flood us with your presence. We invite you, Lord, to come and be free here today. Do anything you want to do here. We just want to see you, know you more, become one with you. Lord, we just lay our lives down again and ask you to please wash away everything that is not you. Bring us into agreement with you, into oneness, into your goodness and your presence. Come, Lord, and just empower your word this morning. Open us up to receive and to be transformed. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to go part two of coming to the end of myself, because we had a lot of points about what it means to come to the end of yourself last week, and we really only dealt with one point, and you all did most of the dealing. We just brought all your verses, and that was really good. But we talked about just saying, I can't do it. This morning, let's talk about being weary, just being worn out, tired, because that's kind of how I felt this morning. I was just too tired to even think about getting ready this morning, and just kind of sat there going, well, God, if you don't show up with some kind of energy, I don't even, I'm going to have to go to church in my pajamas. Wouldn't you have enjoyed that? We'd have a pajama party Sunday morning. We should do that sometime, yeah. Can't say come as you are. Some people don't wear pajamas. But sometimes we're just tired and we just don't have enough strength to do what we need to do. So we want to look at that today, not having enough strength. I do want to let you bring some of your favorite verses about that, but I also do want to bring something that he gave me this morning to share. So let's start off with, does anybody else feel weary? Well, Let's give maybe 10 minutes where you bring me some verses. So look up your favorite verses that help you when you're feeling weary, and we'll share those. Who's going to start? Somebody got one already? Jen, you're so fast. Here you go.
It's Exodus 14:14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace.
Wow. Oh, that's nice. You're just too tired to fight? Just don't. Just let God do it for you. Who's got another one? You want a little clue? God is my strength, his power, his strength. Weary.
Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Let's take that for a second. When we're weary, it says faint not. What would it be to faint? What would we equate fainting to? You gave the verse. What does it mean to faint? When you're weary.
To quit.
To quit. Just give up. So even though we're weary, don't quit. Don't give up. Because realize, are you going to finish it?
Relax.
Yeah, and realize
means,
what?
Well, that means, that's what faint means, is to relax or quit.
So what does it mean to not give up? I mean, why? What does your verse tell us?
That a reward is coming.
In due season. We have to realize there's seasons to things, and we get really weary when we're in a long, long waiting season. But the hope we have to hang on to is there is a due season when we're going to get that reward, when we don't give up. Anyone else have one yet? Ed? Hold on, I'm coming. I hope I'm faster than that.
Revelation 12:11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives unto death. Loved not their lives unto death.
You want to explain it or bring us something from it?
Okay. They are the believers that overcame him, which is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. That's when Jesus was crucified. And the word of their testimony is, like it says that, Satan can't do anything to us unless we let him. So if we walk around confessing defeat and depression and all that, that's where we're going to live. If you confess blessings and victory, then you're going to enjoy that.
Amen. I like that too, that it's the believing in the blood of the Lamb and the power of the blood. But I love that testimony part. Because even if you're weary physically, mentally, wanting to give up, just you can speak. You can still talk. Even if you can't walk, move, do something, you can speak. So you just start speaking those truths. And you'll be start believing them if you start speaking them. Just keep speaking them.
Two verses, same chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 12 and 15. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Verse 15. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Amen. Roxanne, we found it.
Isaiah 41:10-13. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And 13, For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee.
Amen.
Amen. Those are, see, there's words, and even though you're feeling totally drained, you can find a verse like that and just keep speaking that verse. And then personalize it. From and start saying, I will not be afraid because you will help me. You will help me, God. You start saying it in a personal way and keep Amen. Speaking it and tell God, help me believe it. Help me begin to really own this verse. And that will change your thinking. You know, most of our weariness is in our mind. We're not, you know, once you get a hold of a thought that changes the mode you're in, your physical strength seems to come back. Isn't that amazing? Because depression and weariness is really what you're thinking. I wasn't real happy with myself over this weekend because, I mean, we went to a big family thing and we were there for a couple days and there was a lot of kids and a lot of screaming and a lot of stuff going on. And I thought I was a pretty tolerant person and I was just really shocked to find out how intolerant I felt inside. I was like, oh, we're screaming. I'm going to start screaming, shut up! Somebody just shut up! I need some quiet! You know, and I went, God, I came here, I prayed for grace, and I thought I was going to be so nice, and I don't feel so nice. I feel like I just want to go home, you know? And I was disappointed in myself. And I'll confess something. I hope my grandson, he runs the camp we went to, but we had three different bedrooms, you know, that we were a part of, because we took some of the grandkids with us. We were supposed to strip your sheets and wash them. I stripped all the sheets and I washed them and I threw them in the dryer and then we went and did some other stuff and I told the kids we got to get our sheets out of the dryer if they're dry and make the beds. I was so tired. And Brandon said, are they dry? And I said, I don't think so. And we left. I didn't go even check because I was too tired. I don't want to make those beds. And I knew Jackie would do it for me. So I had it covered. So then I get up this morning and I go, God, I am so tired. And I so don't like me. I was intolerant. I wanted to go there and just pour your love on people and I was intolerant. And now I'm so weary. I don't even want to go to church this morning and I don't have anything to share. And I was bad. Oh, man. I just really disappointed myself over the weekend. I didn't go in there and just, you know, let your glory shine. And I was just so disappointed in me. And then when I sat down and I started speaking truth, God, I know you love me. I know you've already forgiven me. I've already confessed it like 10 times. I'm the one that's having a problem with forgiving myself. So I choose to forgive myself and accept your mercy. And as soon as I started speaking these truths, he started saying, let's go back to last week's lesson because you need a part two. And I went back to the notes and I started looking up the scriptures and I started praying the scriptures I was looking up. By the time I was done, I had enough energy. I was getting excited. I couldn't wait to get here so that we could all get refreshed, you know, because God is so good. And we're not. But when we start focusing on self, we get weary. But when we focus on Him, we get refreshed. Okay, I'm going to take just a couple more because I do want to share some things He gave us. No, you already had two turns. Who else wants to share one? Nope. Who else? Not unless there's nobody else, because we're only going to take a couple. Preacher Hogg, you get the microphone at 11.
I'm going to use all my then.
Okay.
My favorite one is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land.
Amen. One more? Dana.
Okay.
Not you.
Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
That's it. I'm so glad we took that one more. That was a good one. I like that one. That's awesome. This was my kickoff one this morning, because this is how I felt in Psalm 71:18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. And that's what I want to show you this morning, His strength, His power, because we can live in that. Matthew 1:28. Again, this is like the main one you think of, you know, because we say this one all the time. Come unto me, all ye that labor.
11:28.
What? Oh, you're right. There's another one. 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's define some of those words. When he says that he is meek and lowly, those two words defined mean he is gentle and humble. He is gentle and humble. When we think of, I want the power of God, we sometimes think, I want to be able to move mountains and do these miracles. But his power is gentle and humble. Do you know, like the soft answer, turning away wrath? It's not out screaming and out arguing and out proving the other guy and winning a point. It's that softness. It's the opposite spirit. So all those things that seem powerful are melted by his gentleness, his meekness. You know, when I was getting all stirred up, like, I just want to stay, shut up, everybody shut up. Actually, I'll confess, Harvey is the biggest noisemaker in a room. And he was stirring those kids up. He was tickling them. And he yells louder than they do all the time he's stirring them up. And I'm just sitting at that table going, it's okay, the kids need to play. It's okay. You know, they don't get to see great-grandpa very often, and it's okay. And I said that for about 2 hours. And I kept holding it in. And then I lost it, and I wasn't meek and gentle. And I said in front of everybody, enough, Harvey, enough, just stop it. You know, just quit, you know. And then I hurt his feelings and offended him because I rebuked him in front of everybody and had to go over and say, I'm sorry, I love you, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. I don't think he liked me for the next hour or so, but he eventually liked me. He's not going to speak now. He's gone silent.
All in your mind.
Well, once you liked me. I could tell when it changed, because once he really liked me again, he went back to making them all out again. And you know what? Those kids loved it. They had a wonderful time. They will never forget their great-grandpa Harvey. They had a great time. That microphone is out of your reach. But you know what? If I would have drawn back in to the Lord and not waited 2 hours until I was at a boiling point, if I would have gotten into the Spirit, I could have gone over quietly, silently, and said kind, loving words to him and appealed to him to take the kids over to the gym where they could be as loud as they want. You know, go out and throw them in the snow. But please get them out of this room. And then he probably would have done that because the Spirit of God would have backed it up and influenced him. We think if I say, just stop it, that's going to work. When actually, honey, please, please take the kids somewhere else and do this. Would have worked. So gentleness, humility is powerful. If we could just get that the whole Spirit of God, the goodness, the love that melts people, this is the power of God. That is power. So powerful. Jesus says, learn of me. Learn of me. Another reason we get so weary is we get weary of ourselves. We just get tired of battling our own sin, our own failures, the things we want to do, expect ourselves to do, try so hard to do, and we get so focused on us trying, and we get weary because we keep failing. But Jesus says, here's the power, here's the strength. Learn of me. He says, if you learn of me, you're going to realize I'm gentle, I'm meek, and I love you so much. I don't get weary of you because I didn't have any expectation of you. I expect me to do it, not you. So I don't get weary with you. He says, then you will find rest to your soul. You know, your soul is your mind, your thoughts, your will, your desires. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know that word, yoke, simply means joining up with me, coming into oneness, coming into partnership, yoke up with me. I'm not a farmer. I'm not a country person. But when they yoke up oxen, they put a couple of them together and they put this one big thing around their neck because it keeps them facing the same direction, going the same way. So when we yoke up with Jesus, it is to face the same direction, to go the same way, to be in oneness with him. And he says, my yoke is easy. And that first time he said easy, it actually doesn't mean that it's not hard. What it means is it's useful, it is better, and it is simple. He said, yoking up with me is coming into oneness with me, letting me do it, and you're just partnering, letting me do it through you. And this is very useful, and this is very simple for you to do. Just come into me and let me do it my way, through you. That's very easy. He said, my burden is light. This time the word light means easy. He says, my burden is light. And it's because the way he yokes up with you, he gets the heavy side. You get the light side. He's actually doing the pulling and the working. We're just agreeing with him. Pastor Harvey also moved a very heavy couch last week, which about killed his back. But when you get 3 or 4 or 5 guys lifting that couch, then you don't have all that weight. But when you're lifting with Jesus, he's carrying the heavy end. You get the light end. Acts 1:8. This is where I want us to go this morning. I actually had a message on this a while back, and he didn't let me bring it. And then this morning he said, let's begin to look into this. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost came on people and then he came off people. But now, since Jesus came and died for our sin, the Holy Ghost comes to live in us and he stays there. That's the first time the Holy Ghost comes upon you, is when you accept Christ and Holy Spirit moves into you. In Acts 2:38, it talks about us being sealed with the Holy Spirit When we get saved, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. There's lots of verses that talk about receiving the Holy Spirit at salvation. And everybody who comes into Christ receives the Holy Spirit. He's in you. Your mind begins to change. You think different. You begin to feel different. That's because God is living in you. But there's a greater infilling of the Holy Spirit beyond that. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist spoke about this other filling. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, sometimes when we think of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptism is being completely immersed in water or completely immersed in the Holy Spirit. So when we think of being completely immersed in the Holy Spirit and with fire, again, we're thinking power, power. This fire is power. I can heal the sick. I can speak into people's lives and they'll just come alive. And there's a power. But he said with fire. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit with fire. Now that fire is talking about a deep repentance and a preparation in us to carry God's power. If you read the next verse in verse 12, he said, speaking of Christ, "whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So he went on to explain this baptism of fire, if you want it, means I'm inviting God to burn away the chaff in my life, the sin, the things that are not of God, the things that would hinder his work. There was a threshing floor when they gathered the wheat, and they would bring the wheat into the threshing floor, and they would stomp on it. They would stomp on this wheat, and it would cause the chaff to come up in the air. And then they would fan that away. That was the chaff. That was the bad part. They didn't need it. And the fan would just blow that part away. And then the good wheat was left, and they would gather that up and keep that part. And when he said Jesus is going to purge his floor, when that fire of God comes, it's like we are the good wheat, but there's chaff in us. And it said, his fan is in his hand. And he is going to kind of press your life and stomp on your life a little bit until that chaff surfaces. And then he can blow it away. He will burn all that part out of our life so that the goodness of God can develop in us. So this morning, I am asking you to consider inviting God. God, I want the baptism of fire. I want this full immersion in your Holy Spirit that comes with fire to burn away everything that is not you out of my life. I want you to burn away my pride. That means I'm going to be willing, when you bring a humble thought to my mind, I'm going to obey you in it. When my pride wants to show off and prove I'm right, but the Holy Spirit in me is saying, just let it go. I want to obey you and let it go. When I want to look good and being quiet makes me look bad, and you say, be quiet, I want to obey that. God, I want you to burn away my pride. I want to burn away my selfishness that's looking out for how do I feel, what do I want, what do I like, what do I think about this? What do I want to do? What do I not want to do? Selfishness. I want this baptism of fire to burn away selfishness. God, I want to burn away the coldness of my heart. Judgment, criticism, condemning others. I want that gone. I want it to burn away. Yeah, I want a deeper repentance of these things so I can see them for what they are, so that I can yoke up with you, so that I can allow the full goodness of your love to flow through my life. Whatever it is, your fear, your shyness, your desires, the things you hold on to and live for and don't want to lose, don't want to let go of, the friend that might not like you if you stand for Christ. Burn it all away, God. Burn away everything that hinders me from being one with you. I want the baptism of fire. We want a baptism of power. But do we want the baptism of repentance? Because it precedes the power. The repentance is first. God has to make room for his pure, holy love to flow through us. Do you want that? I want to show you that it's not the same thing you get at salvation. It's not the same thing you may even have experienced as a minister when he said, sometimes, you know, like, okay, you're going to teach Sunday school now, and we bring you up front and say, God, give her the anointing of teaching, the wisdom of a teacher, open the words to her, let your Holy Spirit rise up in her and teach. And that might happen to a degree. God, send this evangelist out. Send him out to win the lost. And he preaches to them and they get saved. And it's happening to a degree. Jesus laid hands on, He spoke to his disciples before he went to heaven. He spoke to them. And he said in John 20, verse 21 and 22, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So he was getting ready to send them out. And he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now in Acts 5:32, this is later after Jesus was gone, and we are witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Later, God came and he gave people the Holy Ghost who obeyed him. Are we willing to obey him? Because he's not just giving you the Holy Ghost for you to have fun. Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. This was after he had already breathed on them to receive the Holy Ghost. They came together in that upper room for 40 days. And then the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Weren't they filled when he breathed on them and said, receive? No. They had a portion. They had a portion. You can be filled and filled and filled and filled. Because you know what? Sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit. I think he fills us up and we let God live. Something happens and we go, not doing that again. People will hurt me. I'm not doing that again. And our flesh gets in the way. And then God fills us up again. But maybe he only fills us this far. Then he fills us this far. Today we're asking, God, we want a baptism. A total, complete immersion of your Holy Spirit with fire. A fire to burn away everything that isn't you so that we can live in your Holy Spirit and let you live freely in us. Galatians 5:22 through 25 shows us the evidence. If the Holy Spirit is in you and you're letting him live, this is the proof of it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I'm going to take those three words right there. Do you love people? It's not natural. It's natural to love your children and your best friend and your mom and dad and your mate. But do you love other people? Do you love people that you don't even know? You love people that are difficult? That is a proof of the Holy Spirit. When you love somebody, and you don't even hardly like them when God's not full in you. You go, wow, that had to be God. That was awesome, you know. How about joy? Even in the hardest of times, there's just a joy that comes. Peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. And against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is what God is looking for, that we live in His Spirit and we walk in His Spirit. That, see, it's easier to say when you're home alone, God, just you and me, and I love you, and your joy is filling me, and your peace is filling me, and I believe everything you're saying to me, and I'm just going to pray awesome things over other people and believe for them, and oh, I just love you, you're so wonderful, and you're great. But now you've got to walk in the Spirit. You go out among people who are irritating you, attacking you, threatening you, not liking you. How do you walk in the Spirit? How do you wait on the Spirit? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? You know, there's this testing time where God asks you to do some silly things just to see if you'll do whatever He asks you to do. I mean, you know, I've told you about when He told me to pull over on the highway and pray for a cow. By the time I quit arguing with Him and said, well, okay, He said, you already passed that cow. A couple miles back, it's too late. You lost the opportunity. But that was to say, what if I told you to speak to a person? And you don't do it when I say. You lose that opportunity. Quick, instant obedience. That's what He's looking for, walking in the Spirit. Walking close enough to God that you believe it when He brings you a thought. My sheep know my voice. We're going to obey the voice of God. We're going to hear what He wants, and we're going to believe it, and we're going to act on it and get to where we do that quickly and not argue with it until the opportunity passed by. And somebody's gone, and we go, you know, I had that little thought in the back of my head, but I didn't do it. It couldn't be God. I don't think it's God. I don't know for sure if it's God. We argue with it, and then it's gone. We want to walk in the Spirit. That's how His glory is going to get spreading all over the earth. This is the last verse I want to bring you. Romans 15:13. And this is what I'm praying for you this morning. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I want you to have the greatest hope that what's going on in your life, if you've invited this fire, this purging fire of God, that the hard things you're going through are part of that fire, preparing you so you can carry the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the power of His love and His glory. So accept the hard things, accept the testing. Let's learn to quickly just give God His way. And God, we invite you. We want a full immersion, a baptism of your Holy Spirit with fire, because we want to be your people. We want to learn to live in and walk in your Spirit, Lord. And when we do, we will run and not be weary, because it will be your power that makes our feet run. And you do love your people, and you give us rest. Help us not run in our own power, but to rest and let you carry the loads. Thank you, Jesus.
Psalm 23:1. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not fail. I shall not fear. It's like when you're weary, it's like, look to Him. Just be the little sheep. I just want to be a sheep. Bah, bah, bah.
All of Psalm 23 is awesome for that,
right?
Because He leads me by still waters. And He restores my soul. That means even though my mind got messed up, He restores my thinking. Even though, you know, they say, like, sexual sin, fornication, out of marriage, that a man destroys his own soul when he does that. But then Psalm 23 says, He restores my soul. He restores everything. He restores me from everything that I messed me up with. So that's a good one when you're weary. Psalm 23. We got a whole sermon on that. God bless you.